Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading for this day from Genesis chapter 32. I read for you again these words. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Living as a child of God, as a Christian, is hard. We face much that would lead us astray from Christ and the life He died to give us. Certainly, the devil is actively at work against us in many and various ways. He utilizes the world and the culture around us to lead us into sin and unbelief. We suffer afflictions of many kinds in body, mind, and soul. At times, it seems that God does not see or know about our troubles. At other times, it seems that our tribulations are caused by God to punish us for something. Certainly, the life of a Christian is tough. And that's when we especially need to hear and to cling to God's word, as we learn from Jacob. Now, from the beginning, Jacob was a thief, a cheat, a mama's boy, and a spoiled brat. He grew up to be a man who played favorites with his wives and their children. He was always looking out for number one. And when his twin brother Esau was born, Jacob was already holding on to his older brother's heel. When Jacob and Esau were young men, Jacob talked his brother into giving up his birthright in exchange for a pot of stew. And when, a few years later, their father Isaac was about to die, Jacob plotted with his mother to trick his father into giving Jacob the blessing that he had intended to give to Esau. Now, if you'd have confronted Jacob and Rebekah for their treachery at the time, they would likely have said that they were just making sure that the prophecy about Jacob was fulfilled. After all, before Jacob and Esau were born, God had said to Rebekah, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." And though in this case she shouldn't have, Rebekah was following in the footsteps of her mother-in-law, Sarah. When God had promised that through Abraham's descendants, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, Sarah was sure that God could not accomplish that through her. She was an old woman and had never had any children. Sarah didn't believe that God's promise was more powerful than her physical infirmity. So, she talked her husband Abraham into having a child with her servant Hagar. But Hagar's son was not the one that God had promised. The promised son was Isaac. And Sarah would give birth to him 14 years later. And though God had set his promise upon Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, doubt was a constant companion of these men and their families. They were always second-guessing God and flirting with the sin of unbelief. They often assumed that God could not accomplish his promises on his own and thought that maybe the Lord needed their help. And so Jacob and Rebekah's lies and manipulations were really nothing new. Jacob's grandparents had been involved in the same sort of subterfuge. If you look at Jacob's behavior up until the time of today's reading, there was very little that was commendable. He had left a road of pain and deceit in his wake. But now, Jacob is finally beginning to recognize the damage his sin has done. He's just returned from living with his father-in-law, Laban, for 20 years. As he's on his way home, Jacob learns that Esau has raised an army of 400 men, and he knows that he cannot stand against them. Jacob also knows that he cannot avoid his brother forever. He sends a generous gift of livestock ahead of him, hoping that Esau will recognize that Jacob wants to heal their relationship. But if Jacob is honest with himself, he also knows that Esau is under no obligation to forgive him. Through extortion and deceit, Jacob had stolen Esau's birthright and blessing. When Jacob sends his wife, servants, and children across the river ahead of him, he doesn't know if he'll ever see them again. And so today's reading begins with Jacob camped at the ford of the Jabbok River. He probably expects to die when he sees Esau in the morning. And though he remembers that God promised that Esau would serve him, right now God seems far off. Jacob can only see the dire nature of his predicament. He's done what he can to improve the situation, but he doesn't know if it's enough. He has divided his family and sent them away. He hopes that at least a few will survive. But Jacob stands alone with no one to help. All Jacob has is the Lord's word. Jacob knew what the Lord had said to his mother before he and Esau were born. He had even heard the promise with his own ears when his father Isaac had said, "Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." But now it seems like God is against him. His family is scattered and Jacob is completely defenseless. Esau can have his revenge whenever he wants it. And there is nothing that Jacob can do to stop it. And though you have probably not come to the point in your life where your brother is lying in wait to kill you, we've all experienced situations where it seemed that God has left us. You might even be feeling that way right now. The economy is precarious and the cost of everything has gone up, and we wonder how we're going to make it. Personal struggles often show up in the lives of our families. Our fears and uncertainties drive wedges between us and those we love. at those times. It's easy to ask, God, where are you? I need you. Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you helping? Yet, the reality is that God is not far, but near. He has not abandoned us. In fact, even in our times of greatest suffering, God is doing what is best for us. When God sees us place an idol between Him and us, He destroys the idol. If we look to our financial security for hope, God might take away our job or another source of such security. If our good health causes us to think that we don't need Him, God might afflict us with a disease. In our reading today, God has brought Jacob to a point where he cannot get out of his predicament by his own efforts. There is no one that Jacob or his mother can manipulate to get out of this situation. God has destroyed all of Jacob's idols. The scriptures tell us that the Lord our God is a jealous God. None of our idols can give us the good gifts that God gives us. He knows that we are sinners. He knows that we are in need of forgiveness. The very forgiveness that Jesus won for us on the cross. And at the height of Jacob's despair, a strange thing happens. A man appears to him and wrestles with him all night long. We don't know if Jacob knew right away that he was wrestling with God. We do know that Jacob knows that this man is special in some way because he demands a blessing. And after he receives the name Israel, Jacob calls the name of the place Peniel. He says, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Jacob knew when he received his new name that he'd been wrestling with God himself. For the name Israel means he wrestles with God. When God gave him that name, he had said, you have striven with God and with men, and you have prevailed. At that point, Jacob must have been shocked. Even if he didn't know that it was God he demanded a blessing from, he knew it now. God had not abandoned him. God was not going to allow Esau to kill him. The Lord was delivering Jacob from certain death. God was keeping his promises. And what goes for Jacob should go for us. When suffering strikes us, we should not ask what particular sin God is punishing. Don't think that God is sitting at his computer with his finger ready to hit the smite button whenever you step out of line. God is near. He knows your struggles. And he knows your suffering. He works all things for your good. And contrary to your feelings, know with certainty that God has not abandoned you. The Lord is faithful. He does not leave you in the dust. He does not expect you to save yourself. He is a merciful Father, and He does not count your sins against you. He has sent Jesus into your flesh to die your death. Jacob lived because Jesus died. And even though it would be nearly 2,000 years before Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, Jesus' death had already redeemed Jacob from the hands of Esau. The Lord's promises to you are firm and unbreakable. They are sealed in blood. Christ's blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. It cries out that God's justice has been served. Christ has suffered the death that you deserve. He has carried all the wrath of God in his own body. You are free from the demands of the law. Your sins will not come back to bite you in the end. So rejoice, people loved by God. Jesus has died your death. There's no one left to fear. Jesus is risen from the grave, and you will live with him forever. To him be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.